And perhaps you miss our brother Joe Plica. Hopefully he will be back with us in the coming Sunday. We're going to worship the Lord here at Bethel Baptist Church, and we welcome you here in the auditorium and there in the station KKMC and also in the station WW Radio and also in KKX. And we thank the Lord for those who are listening and are preparing their heart to worship with us. We are so glad you are here. And before I escape my mind, I want to let you know that this Wednesday at 7 p.m., we will have our Thanksgiving service. If many of you come, it's not going to be a prayer meeting. It's going to be a Thanksgiving service, even though the pastor will preach at this hour on Thanksgiving Day. So we are thankful that God has provided the opportunity to preach the gospel and to open the doors to let the people know that there is a God, the God of Israel, the God called Jehovah. We're going to worship the Lord with the hymns in our pews there. Is it number 26? It's our first hymn. And we welcome you to open the hymn book and now sing together the first and last stanza of every hymn. Number 26, please. You can take your place as you come in the auditorium. The next hymn to praise the Lord is number 18. And coming up this Thursday is a Thanksgiving Day. And today, Pastor will celebrate with you Thanksgiving in church. So our hymn is, Now Thank We All Our God. The Bible commands us, is not an option for Christians. The Bible commands us to thank God. And we're going to see today that in the sermon from the book of Deuteronomy. Let's sing together number 18, Now Thank We Our Lord, first and last stanza.
Thank you.
Just move your hymn book just one page to number 21, number 21 in the hymn book, and let's sing all the stanzas in this hymn, because it's a wonderful hymn to worship together. We gather together is the title of the hymn, and as you know, this was a folk song in 1625. And 1851 was when this was put together. Will you stand, please, with me as we sing together, We Gather Together. This morning, I'd like to again announce the Wednesday night service. Some of you are able to come around here. Pastor will preach again on Thanksgiving, Bible reading, testimony of our people. And I want to advertise that service because it's for some of you, it's possible you live close by. It's a touch of saying to God, we thank you, Lord, for being our God. It's such an important part of our life to be thankful. Let's pray together. Father, we come into the presence of the mighty God, our Father, which is in heaven. And we do so because of the work of Christ on Calvary, because he gave us the open door directly to heaven. He became our high priest of the Old Testament. And so, Father, now we first and most are thankful for what you have provided for us, not only in the sense of physical needs were so abundant, but also in the sense of a spiritual need. We were a people without God. We actually do not understand God at all. And by your mercy and grace, the gospel of Jesus Christ was brought to us. And then you created in us life. And that life produced faith. And we came to believe in Jesus, our God. And Father, now we are justified before your presence. And we want others to know Jesus, Lord, because it's not only that we are the privileged one, we are just the one that we know, so that we can pass it to others that Jesus has power to save and to justify us before God. Thank you, Lord. Well, thank you, Lord, for the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. And then, Lord, we have a ministry to do so in Bethel Baptist Church. We go across the world in the internet. And then, Father, we also go in radio and the tape ministry and the CD ministry. But also we have men and women dedicated to the gospel. Fred and Carol Lewis dedicate their life in Siberia to teach pastors to grow in the scriptures. Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain. Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Benalmadena, in Spain, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, here in the city of Morgan Hill and in the city of Gilroy, a light in the midst of tribulation. Reuben and Irene Zachert in Lodi, and we thank you, Lord, for their growth. And we thank you, Lord, for the extraordinary and mighty work you have done through these two people. And now a church is established, a church is strong in the city of Lodi. For the San Jose Sport Ministry, who reached the unreachable. And then for Martha Peretti, to reach those who we don't want to, those who are with drugs problems. And then for Daniel, who reached the mighty and the powerful drivers, who sometimes they think they need nobody until they have an accident. And so, Father, bless Daniel with patience, kindness. Give him strength to go through this. And especially give Danny the assurance that the mighty God of heaven will raise his support and bring him into a wonderful relationship with you, a key ministry in a very special place where many of us cannot have even a foot on. He was a racer, and so he knows them, and he knows what they need most. It's not to win the race, but to win Jesus as Lord. And now, Father, we pray for ourselves, and that we as a thankful people may dedicate part of our income to the prosperity of the gospel. And we bring this offering to you in the name of Jesus. So bless the offering and bless the giver. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, choir. That beautiful Thanksgiving Day music. Would you please stand as we read together the word of the Lord? The passage is from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 7 through 19. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, and vines and fig trees, and pomegranates, a land of oil olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou may diggest brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions, and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of mine hand has gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is in this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of this his holy word. Let us bow in prayer. Lord, you have given us many gifts. You have given us both our wealth, our families, and our friends, and the members of this church as a body. Amen. We thank you for all these blessings. We shall try never to forget thee, that thou art the fount of all of our wealth, Amen, as well as our blessings. And we thank you at this time for the greatest gift of all, the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, my brother. As you know, this coming Thursday, we will be celebrating in United States of America Thanksgiving Day. And I am glad we have a day set aside for Thanksgiving. Now, perhaps you know, but let me ask you the question, do you know how Thanksgiving Day came into existence? Let me refresh your memory from the history books and from pages on the internet. The crew of the Mayflower has set their sights to land in Northern Virginia. However, things did not work out in that way on the sea. The Mayflower landed at Plymouth Rock off of Cape Cod in November of the year 1620. Once they landed, half the ship crew, the Pilgrim's passengers, die from pneumonia in the first winter. Later, when things began to look better, they were blessed with a bountiful harvest. Governor William Bradford declared a feast, and that feast will be held to give thanks for the harvest they have. This Thanksgiving feast, held in 1621, lasted 3 days. So if you prepare a dinner for 4 to 5 hours, that will be okay. They lasted 3 days. However, it was not repeated until the year 1623, when a severe drought, which led the pilgrims to invoke divine intervention, was ended by providential rain. That's how Thanksgiving started. For the next 200 years, a Thanksgiving feast were held intermittently through the New England area, although many, including Thomas Jefferson, were opposed to celebrate what was viewed then and is today as a strictly local religious observance as a national holiday. The custom caught on, however, and in 1863, our great President Abraham Lincoln proclaimed the fourth Thursday in November as a national day of Thanksgiving. Each president thereafter annually proclaimed a Thanksgiving day, usually designating it as a fourth Thursday in November until 1941, when the Congress officially made the fourth Thursday in November a national Thanksgiving Day holiday for the United States of America. I have news for all of you, especially those who are here in the auditorium, and for those who are listening outside the auditorium and radio, and for those who listen later on in the cassette, or in the CD, or in the internet. And here's the news. Thanksgiving Day in America is a religious holiday. I say it again. Thanksgiving Day in America is a religious holiday. But like so many religious holidays, the devil does all he can to sidetrack the purpose of observing that holiday. For example, the day was being set aside to give thanks unto the Lord for his bountiful blessings in our life. And it's quickly changed. I heard people saying this. How about the Turkey Day? That's what they call Thanksgiving Day. Other people call Parade Day, Thanksgiving Day. And other people call them a Football Day, Thanksgiving Day. We can't help but wonder how God feels about blessing us the way he has. And having people celebrate Thanksgiving without even taking time to stop from what they are doing and look up and to say, God, thank you for your blessings of my life. Thank you for my home. Thank you for my nation, America. And thank you for my church. Let the world in which we live decide the way which they are going to celebrate Thanksgiving. We cannot do anything about that as much as we wish we could. But let us celebrate it in the way they need to be celebrated. And what I'm going to do today is I'm going to invite you to look upon an Old Testament scripture in the Old Testament, which Paul says something about. You know, you have a Bible. And there is a Bible in the pew for you if you don't have one. And the Bible has two divisions, very easy to understand. One is called the Old Testament, and the other is called the New Testament. And many people, as I travel, as I visit with people, as I talk with people, many people ask me the question, what do you think the Old Testament is for? Well, let's turn to Romans, the great apostle Paul, in page 669. If you have a Bible there in the pew, it's page 669. And in Romans, in chapter 15 and in verse 4, the apostle tells us why we have the Old Testament, all right? Page 669, Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. And here is the Apostle Paul making a conclusion to a letter that was sent, as you study in Sunday school today in the previous service, there was a remarkable closing of the letter, and he's making some conclusions. And in page 669 of the Bible that you have there in the pew, Romans 15, 4, he says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scripture, might have hope." You see how wonderful? The Old Testament is a big lesson for you and for me to learn. The Old Testament is a lesson that when you read it, you draw a lesson to your life, and that lesson will give you patience, will give you comfort, and will give you hope. And I hope this morning I can accomplish that as much as I can, even though we are human, and we are, of course, always fallible to make mistakes here and there, but I will try to honor what Paul said, that the Old Testament was written so that we can draw a great lesson. And so I'm going to ask you, please, to turn your Bible to the section that was read today, and that was in Deuteronomy chapter 8, and it's on page 122 in the Bible that is in the pew. And I'm going to bring you down to a command to remember God's past dealings with the nation of Israel. And by association, I would like to relate that story. That's a historical event. I'd like to relate that story to us. If you notice in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and in verse 1, the Bible says, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers." And so the section here is not an option. Thanksgiving Day for those who believe not in God, well, who knows what it is. But for us who believe in God, it's not an option. It is a command. And I wonder how God wants us to celebrate it. What God wants us to pay attention to it. You know, when you are sick, you go to the doctor and you pay attention to what the doctor will say, don't you? And when he give you a medicine and he said you take this one in the morning with an empty stomach, you really write down, this is my wife, just write down that exactly and follow this through. And so let's pay attention to this. Like a doctor is telling you some medicine for your life. There are three things that I saw in that passage, and you maybe see more, and you maybe can have more, but at least I saw three things that they are like a recommendation to me and to you about how we, as people of God, regardless of the church you go to, we have a sign in the front that says Baptist, other churches have Catholics and Methodists and Pentecostal. That doesn't matter. Forget about those signs. And if you're a Christian, here is a counsel for you that will touch your heart. Number one, we should celebrate Thanksgiving Day purposely, with purpose. We should celebrate Thanksgiving Day with purpose. Look again at the scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 8, and I'm going to deal with verses 7 to 10. Look at in verse 7. The Lord said, "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, fountains, and depths of a spring out of the valley and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil
olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, and thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. Now look in verse 10. See, when thou hast eaten and are full, and thou shalt bless the Lord thy God. So first, God is saying, you need to have a purpose. And the first purpose is this: take an assessment and how well off you are. Take an assessment of how well off you are. Look at verse 10. When thou hast eaten and art full. Take an assessment and how well you are. Many of you do not have the opportunity to go to other countries, as I had the opportunity to go all over. When I was young and I was a soccer player, and then when I went into radio and I did shows and things to help people everywhere in Central America, and they were making a show in television about Haiti. They say that is the poorest country in the world. But my wife and I were in a mission to help people up in Honduras. And up in the mountains, I have in Spanish, a Spain accent rather than a South American accent. So they cut you right there. Is Spain accent, when you speak in Spanish, is like a British when you speak English. And they got you right there. And then we were walking on the streets, and one lady came out of one room. And she came out. And he said, Dr. Otero, Dr. Otero. And we come out and we stop. There were 32 people sleeping in that room. And she was thankful. She said, we got a roof. Big room. No bathrooms over there. Nothing. We got to get a jeep from the government to get into the place because there was no road. And it was not too far, 10 miles from downtown Tegucigalpa. And I still today shaken. By seeing those people touching your hands for something you have sent, some medicine you have sent, some things you have done for them, and they think you are God, and some of them were nailed down. I grabbed them, and I said, I'm just one of you. As a matter of fact, I'm Spanish like you. I tell you, God said, when thou hast eaten and art full, my people, God's people, we have abundance in this country. There is no memory in the history of the world. There is no memory. Secondly, verse 10 said, take time to thank God. Look at number one, do an assessment. When thou hast eaten and art full, and then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God. Then spontaneously we shall say, God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Now, I always watch people and observe people. Have you ever watched parents with a small child? When a man, out of the kindness of his heart, gives the child a candy. What happened? The parents stand there saying, what do you tell the nice man, my child? Have you heard that? Have you experienced that? And the child slides the candy in his or her mouth. And the mother is really getting embarrassed that the child doesn't say anything. And she said in a different voice, what do you tell the nice man who gave you the candy? And the child takes a look at the nice man and does not have the slightest idea of what to say. Finally, the mother said, tell the nice man, thank you. And the child very reluctantly pulls out the candy and says, thank you. I want to ask you a question. Do you really think the child is thankful? Or did the child just say thank you? What do you think? Now thinking yourself with God. This coming Thursday, will say thank you because it's a day that the President of the United States and the Congress of the United States, a 1941 decree, or you will say thank you to the Lord because of your heart. See, when you live in an affluent society like ours, where many are given all kinds of entitlements, people can see no reason to be thankful for something they feel they are entitled to receive as American. I remember talking to a truck driver, and I remember talking to say, are you thankful? Why? I earn my money until you get ill, and you cannot drive the truck anymore. I earn my money until you have an accident and you lose a leg and you're a handicapped person. I earn my money until you have headaches and they never stop and you can no longer use the computer and your work. You see, we live in a society that is so affluent that we think that whatever we have is because we have made it. As Americans, we have made it. Now, we have accomplished great things. Did you saw on television last night? 7 people, they're going to spend 6 months on a space station. And I really would like to go over there. And they took off from Spain. And finally, they made it. And they said, we know that when they come back, listen to this, the giant thing took off. It's going to hook on the space to something. It's going to be open. The guys go in. The others come in. And now the new crew come down, the one who already spent 6 months. And they talk like it. I'm going to Auckland and back. They said, well, we go over there. And then when we come back, the meteorological observations are that when I come back, I want to have a clear sky so they can land here in California or in Spain, one of the two. And they're making the schedule like this is nothing. I mean, they go right close by the moon. They go to a station on the air. The next guy come in, and he's coming down, and like nothing happened. Of course, we are an affluent society. Of course, you think you are a genius. Can you imagine? All as I am, hardly I can drive to Modesto and back. And these guys, they go on the thing. And I bet you they don't touch any button. They do it right there in Houston for them. See, we think that we have the rights. We need to have a purpose for Thanksgiving. And I found it really in God's word say, now listen, when you are full, when you have everything you dream of, when you have everything you dream of, now think, that's not yours. Now, there is a verse in the Bible, if you put one hand in the book of Deuteronomy, and you go to the New Testament, to the Lord's brother, half-brother of the Lord, James 1:17. That's in page 711 in the New Testament. James chapter 1, verse 17. The Lord's brother write these letters in page 711. And look at how beautiful he described the purpose for Thanksgiving. The Lord's half-brother, all right? James 1:17, page 711. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? From above, and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness. There is no shadow in God. That's a good thing. There is no shadow. And every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. Your children are a gift of God. Your life is a gift of God. Your health is a gift of God. Everything you have is a gift of God. So when we say thank you this Thursday to the Lord, let's just say thank you, not like the child that was forced by the mother to say thank you, but let us say thank you from the whole heart and say, God, we owe to you our life. We owe to you our very existence. Remember Leviticus says, life is in where? The blood. No wonder when the doctor needs to know something about you, what did he ask you? So go to the hospital and take this blood test. when the report come in and you look on it, you don't understand a word of what they said. But a doctor will read it and say, oh, look, you are in trouble here, you're in trouble here, and you this. Life is in the blood. And I tell you, we have to be thankful to God that he has given us a physical life and a spiritual life, that we can worship him and love him. Let's be thankful with purpose. Secondly, Thanksgiving should be celebrated with determination. With determination. Let's go back to Deuteronomy, page 120 over there in chapter 8. When we are given anything by anyone, it should be a natural thing that we are determined to go to that individual and express our gratitude. I want to tell you something of culture. You are in Spain and somebody give you a gift. Well, you say thank you and so on. But the American people are a very grateful people, because you do something for somebody and three or four days later, you receive a card who say, thank you so much for this. In the church, we have baby showers, and the lady who received all these showers of gifts, what did she do the next day? She sits down, because there is another lady, I know this, I watch it, taking notes who is present. And then the very next week, a card is sent to these people saying, thank you for the present and so on. You know, that's determination. I'm going to thank somebody who does this for me. So when God graciously bless us, we must determine to express our gratitude. Now let's go over Deuteronomy chapter 8 a little bit. God has given us worldly fullness. Look at verse 8. Lest when thou hast eaten and are full, and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein. Now, goodly in Hebrew is the word tobas. And tobas means mansions in the translation. When you have built houses, they are so comfortable. Worldly fullness. I remember when I came to America and I turned the faucet and hot water came in. I can't believe it. As a matter of fact, I let it go for an hour to see when it stopped. Unbelievable. I took all the time showers with cold water, whether winter or summer. Now I don't do it anymore. I'm a coward. But I tell you, worldly fullness. We are full, my people. We are full. Verse 13, worldly riches. And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied. We are rich. We are rich. To the point that the government has a plan. If you do not work, we can help you. What is it? 6 months? 8 months? We can help you until you find a new job. That's riches, fella. In my land, when you don't have a job, you go to your mama and daddy or to your brother and sisters. As a matter of fact, I receive every month. Every month. I don't say this to criticize, because I know my brother was stupid and need help. But poor brother. But here's what it is. Every month, he goes to a friend of mine in downtown, the Paredes, you know, in Buenos Aires. And they say, well, will you email to my brother a note? I need to pay the electricity, $60. And so, you know, and they chat on the computer. I see my brother Paretti coming in. I said, hi. He said, oh, urgent. He said, did I give you the $60 to your brother or not? And you put the money in my account in America. I said, what did he need it for? For paying the electricity. I don't know if he needs to pay the electricity, but he needs $60. His retirement is $420, and there are four people. Now, he doesn't pay rent, because he lives in the grandma homes. He doesn't pay the rent. Now the home belongs to me and three or four more, and we don't want to charge him. But I tell you, $60 and so on. And he thinking, well, my brother is in America. He is working there. He maybe think he's rich or not. But I don't think those things. I said, well, he have a need. I'm going to help it. And God has blessed us. He has multiplied you. Some of you married, and I visited when you were renting, and now you own a house. I'm not criticizing you. I'm saying God has prospered you. Some of you were single when they came here, and now you're married, and I marry you. Remember? It's just fantastic. And some of you were married and no children, and now you have a handful, all right? It's just fantastic. God has blessed us. Look at verse 13 again. Worldly prosperity, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied. Some of you have invested well, and God has blessed you in America. Praise God for that. Even those who own a house in America, and it's all pay, that's the best investment you have. And that's wonderful. Verse 15, worldly leadership. Look at verse 15. Who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents. This is talking about Israel. And scorpions and drought, where there was no water. Who brought thee for water out of the rock of flame? You and I were 10, 11, 12 years old. And God in his mighty hand gave you a brain to think. And some of you went to college, and some of you went to other kind of schools and are contractors today. And some of you are professionals here in our church, and those who listen to me over the radio and over the internet. And I tell you, whatever you are today is because of the gift of God to you. I never think that all my studies and all the things I have done, I have accomplished anything except for the grace of God and the love of God who kept my mind straight. And then verse 16, worldly provisions, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna. I love that Hebrew word manna. Ma means who, and na is what is it? And so the Jews, when they saw the bread coming out from heaven, they said, manna, what is it? What is it? It's amazing how God have provided for you in an amazing way. An amazing way. I know when I need to get my license established in America, and how people will help me to accomplish that goal. Amazing. God has prospered us in a marvelous way. Notice that all of these God has done for us, but it's something that could happen to us. Look at in verse 14. Verse 14. Personal pride could happen to us. See? Then thy heart be lifted up, and thou, what? Forget the Lord. Forget the Lord, the God which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt. How many times we forget the Lord? We forget the Lord. Verse 17, we gain a lot of self-confidence. Look at this. And thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of mine hand have gotten me this wealth. You know, I keep saying, and I want to say until I die, I tell people, I say, you know, read the Bible. It's tomorrow's newspaper. See, the nation of Israel is no different than us. They are people. It's tomorrow's newspaper. This is why many believe America is in trouble with God. We have forgotten where our blessings came from. I never forgot. I was in Wilmington, Delaware, and somebody was so kind to give me a dinner, my wife and I, and brought us into the Museum of United States of America to see how the country is starting. Here my eyes, in clear English, was written by hand that no one could be a mayor of the city of Delaware unless is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow! Wow! I can't believe it. I just jumped. Everybody was looking into the golds and the coins. And I said, look, can I take a picture? Don't allow me to take a picture of that. But I want to get connections until I get a picture of that. Today, people will say illegal. Was illegal to be in office and not believing in God in the United States of America. And we have forgotten that. We have too many today who write books, hold seminars, and brag on national television about how they have pulled themselves up from poverty to riches in their own straps. You got Ted Turner, Bill Gates, and all the wealthy people in this society could not accomplish a thing in their life if God had not blessed them with the thing he had blessed them with. Believe me. We've seen God bless America. I like to make a change in that. I like to put it in past tense. And I like to see God had bless America. And number three, not only we have to be able to say thank you, Lord, not only we have to have determination, but also we need to celebrate Thanksgiving Day with great joy. Look at verse 18 and 19. Verse 18, and you shall keep on remembering the Lord your God. Look at this. But thou shalt remember, I wish the King James Version of the Bible will honor the original, but thou shalt keep on remember the Lord thy God. Number three, we shall celebrate Thanksgiving Day daily. That is my point. We shall celebrate Thanksgiving Day daily, not only purposely, not only with determination, but daily. And we shall remember the Lord our God. Keep on. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of us have a greater ability to be more appreciative of God daily? It will solve a lot of family problems. If will solve a lot of school problems if we are grateful to God. It would solve a lot of neighborhood problems if we are grateful to God. Just yesterday, I just took my blower. I just a few things that Russell taught me how to use, I know. And I'm blowing the street right there in Lake Anderson. My neighbor's yards and everything, you know, and Japanese neighbor across the street came to me and said, thank you, thank you. I said, well, I'm young, strong, and have energy. And he said, oh, I'm Dr. So-and-so. And we shake hands and we introduce each other. He said, will you clean here? Yes, yes. Where do you live? Right here. And he was shocked. And then he went to his window. And from the window, he was saying like this, I made his day. I cleaned his driveway. He maybe think I'm parole and I have to do this, but I tell you, solve a lot of problems when we share love, don't we? A lot of problems. I'll tell you something. If we thank the Lord daily, it will revolutionize the whole world. The whole world will change. Do you remember what Paul said to the Greek church of Colossus in chapter 3, verse 15? Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, page 694 in your Bible. Page 694. Look at what Paul says as a conclusion. You know, I like Paul's letters. He writes the big theology where everybody argue. He writes all of this. But at the end of the letter is the good stuff. He tells us how to live. And in Colossians 3:15 said, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also ye are called in one body, and be what? Be ye thankful. Be ye thankful. I read this in a British paper, and I like this story as I bring you the conclusion. One afternoon, a shopper at a local mall felt the need for a coffee break. And she brought herself a little bag of cookies and put them in her shopping bag. Now picture this lady, so I'm going to have a coffee break. She had a bag and she put that in her bag, all right? She then purchased some coffee, found a place to sit at one of the crowd tables, and then taking the lid off of her coffee and taking out a magazine, she began to zip her coffee and read. Across the table from her, a man sat reading a newspaper. Now I have the picture. Here in America, we are too luxurious. We go to a restaurant, we have a table for ourselves. But if you go to Carmel, there is a restaurant, a British restaurant, where you have a table and everybody sits around. And I don't know if you noticed that. I love to do that. And so here's a lady sitting there, and across her, the man. Now remember, she had the cookies in her bag. After a minute or two, she reached out and took a cookie, and she saw that the man did the same thing across the table. He also reached out and got a cookie. Now, this stunned her. But she did not say anything. A few moments later, she took another cookie, and once again, the man also took a cookie. Now she was getting a bit upset, but still she did not say anything. After having a couple of sips of coffee, she once again took another cookie, and so did the man, took another cookie. Now, she was really upset by this, especially since now only one cookie was left. And apparently the man also realized that only one cookie was left in the bag. Before she could do anything, he took it, he broke it in half, and offered half to her and proceeded to eat the other half himself. Then he smiled at her, put in the paper under his arm, and got up and walked off. Now, she was esteemed, said the British. Her coffee break was ruined. That was the title in the newspaper. Thinking ahead of how she will tell her family about this offensive incident, she said, she folded her magazine, opened her shopping bag, and there she discovered her own unopened bag of cookies. She was eating the guy's cookies. You live in this world. You breathe because you are eating God's cookies. Daniel said, and they are not afraid, and the people are not afraid of a God who has the breath of their life in their hand. If this Thanksgiving, there is nothing that you can think of how to be thankful, just tell God, Lord, thank you that I breathe. That every second of my life, 60 pulps of my heart moves on, or 80, I don't know what your is. I had to run hard to get it to 100, because mine is very, very slow, because I was a professional. A sportman, and so it's calm in 60. But whatever my heart does is because of God and not because of me. Will you thank God that not only your physical heart pumps up and down, but also your spiritual heart? That you have a Bible that costs a fortune in other countries. That you have a Bible in your own language. Actually, you have hundreds of translations in your own language. And we send missionaries to places, and Brother Dulilo knows a friend, and I know him, happen to know personally. They go to a place, listen what people said, and he create a vocabulary. And out of that vocabulary through years, he create a translation of one book of the Bible. What do they call those missionaries? Bible missionaries? Wycliffe translators. Way in the jungles, and some of them die. Just the people can have what we believe, and I believe, I don't know what you believe, but I believe this is God's word, pure. And I read it and fill my heart. Makes me a better man, makes me a man that knows how to love my wife, how to love my neighbor, and how to care for people. May God give us a Thanksgiving day where we say, thank you, Lord, we are eating your cookies for so long, and we never know it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you have given us a moment in which we can say one day, thank you for this country who separate a day to say thank you, God, for what you have done for us, our spiritual life, our physical life. In Jesus, we thank you. Amen.
Son of God.
Thank you very much. Will you stand for the benediction? This is the last Sunday of the month, and we enjoy, I enjoy people. And so we, the ladies here have provided food. If you have time, you can stay for our luncheon together. And Pastor, we have to, I have to leave very, very quickly, but I will stay for a plan and whatever is there, all right? Father, we thank you that you gave us life, not only physical life, but a spiritual life. We thank you that you provide the word of the living God so that we can read it and learn from it. And whatever mistake we have made, forgive us, O God, and teach us the right thing in your scripture. Teach us to live with you, to love our neighbor, to love each other in a way that as we never loved before, and to love you with all our heart, mind, and spirit. And when all things are done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in the name of Jesus. Amen.